Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the solid rock. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is truly the rock of our salvation. On him, Father, our eternity depends, and we thank you for that. And we thank you, Father, for the way in which he's worked in so many different lives. How many, Father, have confessed their sin and their need of him, and he came to seek and to save that which was lost. We were among them. We thank you for that. And we pray, Lord, your blessing upon our time here. May your Holy Spirit speak to hearts and lives, bring about change. May we be submissive to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews, the faith chapter of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're doing character studies. And this morning we're going to be taking up the man Noah. And I think everything we find in the Old Testament, we find in this one verse of the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, yet moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. I don't know how much we get out of that. Let's try it again. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. You can't go to a secular university and find Noah anywhere in the history books. In all the time we went through school, we never heard the name Noah mentioned. The only place you're going to find Noah is if you turn to the Word of God or you attend a church where the Word of God is being taught, then you're going to find out who Noah was. Now you think of this. There was a world civilization, and people were living, they were getting married, they were buying, they were selling, the economy was growing, industry was happening, and they totally rejected God. And God destroyed the old world, except Noah, his wife, three sons, and their three wives. That was a catastrophic event in human history, Noah. I don't know if you ever tell of Romulus and Remus or not. Probably not. Romulus and Remus discovered the seven hills of Rome, and they started a city on the seven hills of Rome. And as it grew and became stronger, it seemed like those two brothers, Romulus and Remus, there wasn't enough room for both of them. So Romulus killed Remus, and that's why it's called Rome, named after the founder, Romulus. Oh, those are important people. Not really. Not like Noah. Noah was much more important than they were. Oh, we learned about Napoleon Bonaparte, that famous French general that conquered so many countries. He conquered Egypt, and he conquered Spain, and he conquered the Netherlands, and he conquered parts of Germany, and he conquered Poland, and my, in the short life he had, he was on the move. Napoleon Bonaparte. And the only thing that defeated him was a Russian winter. He went after Russia. Wrong time of year. Soundly defeated. Oh, he was important, but he was not as important as Noah. Of course, we learned about our presidents, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. And they were great people for Americans, but nothing like Noah. Like that verse. It starts out, by faith, Noah. And it ends up according to faith. Starts with faith, that verse, and it ends with faith. Faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith. The Bible says we're saved by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Martin Luther was reading the book, and the book said, the just shall live by faith. Well, poor old Martin, he was working so hard for salvation. He was sleeping on the floor, and he was beating himself, and he was studying hard, and he was working hard, and he just seemed not to be able to grasp God. And then he read these verses in Scripture. The just shall live by faith. Real life is a life of faith. That verse starts with faith, if you look at it, and the verse ends with faith. That's a very important thing. Faith. Where is our faith? By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Warned of things not yet seen. Going through a school zone while school's getting out is 15 miles an hour. And there are signs that warn you that you're coming into a school zone. And it's a warning, because if you don't drive appropriately through a school zone, you can cause some real damage to children and to yourself. That's a warning that everybody should take seriously. You shouldn't drive through a school zone at 60 miles an hour when there are children at the school. That's a school zone. You're warned about that. Big yellow bus, red lights, LEDs all around. Big sign whips out, stop. And almost every day, somebody drives by that school bus. And when that individual stands before the judge in a court of law, would he or she dare to say, "I didn't see it"? I didn't see it? You've been warned. You were warned by the lights. You were warned by the sign. You were warned by the yellow on the bus. And you didn't see it? Huh? It'd be an awful thing, wouldn't it? Be an awful thing to drive by a school bus when those lights are all on and children are crossing back and forth in front of that school bus. That's a warning. Being divinely warned of things not seen as yet. Never happened before, but warned about it. It's like the warning God posts in the scripture. It's appointed unto man once to die. We have cemeteries in every community. The paper has obituaries every week. And all of that information is to tell us we're going to die. Might not be today, but we're going to die. All of us are going to die. And we're warned about that. Noah was warned. It says, being divinely warned of things not seen, something that had never been seen before in his lifetime, and at that time in human history, was going to happen. We read the Bible about the Great Tribulation, and some people say, "I think we're in the Great Tribulation." Really? Have you ever read about the Great Tribulation? Listen, we are not in the Great Tribulation. Believe me, when the Great Tribulation comes, you are going to know you are in the Great Tribulation. We're not there yet. That's going to happen. We're told about the judgment seat of Christ for every believer. Every believer is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Someday, I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and someday you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then there's a great white throne judgment, and that's for non-believers. It's a different judgment. And someday, every non-believer will stand before the great white throne judgment. Hasn't been seen yet. Never happened in history. It's future that's going to happen. There are good things that haven't happened yet. The marriage supper of the Lamb. I have a picture home that somebody gave me a long time ago. Somebody's imagination of what it looks like. The table's all set for the marriage supper of the Lamb. It is a supper. It's going to have food, plates, settings, and it's of the Lamb. The one thing in that meal that brings us all together is the fact that that Lamb was slain for our sins. And we are going to have some good meal. Future. Hasn't happened yet. And I've had some good meals. You've had some good meals. Some of you, obviously. But nothing like the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be a tremendous time. Paul's going to be there. Maybe he's going to speak. I don't know. Great thing is, the Lord's going to be there. All those who have gone on before us, they'll be there. And we're going to have a meal centered around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, in the future, there's going to be new heavens and a new earth. New heavens and a new earth. Nick works for Irving, and Nick worries about the budworm. Eats everything. Fur, anyway, right, Nick? It's coming, right? Not sure what he's going to do. Probably clear cut, but anyway. It's coming. This world has a lot of trouble. Our oceans are full of plastic. Tremendous problem. It's killing the fish. We do really have an environmental problem. There's no solution to it, really. Our world's in bad shape. But I'll tell you something. The Bible teaches this. A new heaven and a new earth. The other night, the fellow giving the weather, he said, "Tonight, when you look out towards the western sky, southwest, you're going to see Venus. The brightest star is going to be Venus." That's our heavens out there. We just see a small part of that. But even that, it's all going to be folded up, and it's going to be new heavens and a new earth. No more budworm. No more cancer. No more sickness. No more heartache. No more death. It's going to be all over. Being divinely warned of things not seen as yet. Now, even though Noah had never seen that, he acted. And even though we never see those things I mentioned, we should act, in spite of the fact he had no human experience in relation to those things. Noah did what God asked him to do. What is that faith? Faith in things that have never been seen. That's an amazing thing. Well, Noah did. Now listen, because Noah did, he saved his family, and he made it through the judgment. It's when you believe what's going to happen in the future, and because of that, you reach out for salvation, and you save yourself, and you save others, because you believe God. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, what's our word? Moved. Moved. It's a good word, moved. We can look at that in a second, but back to this one. Being divinely warned. Divinely warned. When we were younger, girls liked the suntan, and boys liked to watch them suntan. But they'd be out in the sun, bake on one side, flop over, bake on the other side. Couldn't get enough sun. Might be light complected, and they wanted to bring that to a, like a bronze. Then a lot of them got old, and their skin didn't look good. And some of them developed cancer. And they died of cancer. And the reason why they died of cancer is because they spent too much time in the sun. Some people were warned. If you spend too much time in the sun, this can cause cancer. They were warned, but nothing like having a good tan, right? Imagine the people in Noah's day when droplets of water fell from above. This was an entirely different experience for them. Who called it rain? There's water falling out of the sky. Water is falling out of the sky. You know something? We say, it's raining cats and dogs. Well, you ever been in a place where it rained cats and dogs? I want to tell you something. If you've been in a place where it rained cats and dogs, you'd be going, oh, man, cats and dogs falling out of the sky. Well, it was the same reaction those people had before the flood when it started to rain. Because in that day, there was a mist that would come up and water the earth. That's how it was described. All of a sudden, these big drops of water are falling out of the sky. We call it rain. I don't know what they called it. Never happened before, but it's happening now. Warned. Sometimes people are warned and they don't take it seriously. I think back in that day, I think there were millions and millions. I don't know how many million, but there were millions of people who were warned. The judgment was coming. Didn't take it seriously. Psalm 19, verse 11. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping of them there's a great reward. It's talking about the word of God. And the writer of the psalm is saying, by the word of God, you can be warned. And by the word of God, you can be rewarded. The word of God can keep you out of trouble. And the word of God can give you a better life. The word of God can change your destination. It's just the word of God. Just words. But as many as received him, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God. What do we do with him? Reject him or receive him? One or the other. Warned. And then he moved. So it says, moved. How? With godly fear. Moved with godly fear. He moved. Couple of meanings to that word. One is circumspect, and it means unwilling to take a risk. Unwilling to take a risk. Moved. You know, once in a while, there are some young guys, they work here in town, and they come here and they spin around the dooryard, and they go down the road. One of these days, they're going to go off the road. Anyway, I caught them one day, and I told them not to do that, but who's going to listen to some old guy with white hair? So anyway, they come spin around the dooryard. And I have a hard time with that because I was young once and I'd spin around the door. Yeah, I'd do that. So I have trouble with that. But I thought you should put a sign out there. Warning, you're on camera. The only problem is I'm too cheap to get a camera. I just want to get the sign. But then it wouldn't be true. So warning, you're on camera. Warning, we have your license number. Warning, you're going to get a visit from my friend, the sheriff. Would that move him? The guy would come there to spin his car around the dooryard and he'd see the sign, you're under surveillance. He'd change his mind, put the car in reverse, and drive away. You know why? Because when he saw the sign, he was moved. Yeah. That's what that word says right there. Moved with godly fear. It also means apprehensive, which means anxious that something is going to happen. Noah really believed that this world was going to be flooded. It was going to happen. And because of that, he was moved to do something. To do what? To do what God said. What did God say? God said, build an ark. Gave him all the dimensions, all the plan, all laid out. Build it. How long would Noah work on the ark? 100 years. Not like next spring. 100 years. Build the ark. It's coming. Noah's building the ark. It's coming. And he's moved. So, you're all here this morning for different reasons, whatever your reason may be. But how many of you will be here this morning and be moved? I mean, it's like you come in, you listen to hot air coming from the pulpit, you leave, life goes on, nothing happens. Not moved. Noah was moved to do something with what he heard. That's how he's moved. People will question our lives and if God has done anything in our lives. I question my life. If I look back over my life and I think, how many times have I moved? I look back over my life and I say, I've been moved a few times. One time, Paul and I were just in the laundry bench. She said, you know, somebody invited us out to church. I said, really? Yeah. That's strange. Invited out to church. I said, let's go. I was being moved in the laundry bench. I heard what was said. There was an invitation that was given. And I was moved. Went out to church. And then went out to church again. I always wanted to read the Bible, but never did. And it was a place where the Bible was being taught. That's interesting. So we were going to church. And we noticed that people were there when we got there for church. So we asked about that. What's this? Sunday school class. Well, we teach books of the Bible, or we teach this or that. Really? Can anybody go? Well, yeah, anybody can go. You can come if you want to. We were moved. We started coming to Sunday school. Man, we were getting religious, I'll tell you. So then we wanted to know what was going on midweek. What are you doing there? So, well, we have prayer meeting on Wednesday evening. Well, what's that? The pastor there explained, well, we meet together, we have a little Bible study, and we pray. Really? Can anybody go? Sure. We were moved. We were being moved to do that. So I look back at my life. Yeah, we were moved. So the Lord was speaking to us. I said to Paula, yeah, I think the Lord's calling us to Bible school. She questioned that and said, you're not that much of a student. She said, I think you got this one wrong. I said, well, I don't know. I just feel moved in that direction. I just really do feel moved.
I don't know if I use the word moved, but that was the direction I felt God was pulling us in.
You know, we packed up and we moved. And I didn't know we were going to be successful at that. I thought, listen, if this doesn't work out, I'll take the blame for that. I'm not going to blame God. If this doesn't work out, blame myself and come back and eat humble pie and we're good. We were moved. And then when we went to St. John Bible Church, I felt moved to do that. And we moved. We borrowed my father-in-law's pickup and loaded that up with stuff. Everything we owned was in that pickup. And we moved. And then one day, Bob and McNutt and I were driving through Eagle Lake, and Bob says, you know, Gary, really should be a work here. Should be a church here in this community. We moved.
There are times when you have to move. There are times when you have to say,
I'm going to do that. Because I believe God's in it. I'm not making it up. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, what? Moved. Moved. You know my friend Napoleon Bonaparte? Here's what he said. He said, men are moved by two levers only, fear and self-interest.
That may very well be what moves many people, but I'd like to think obedience to the divine call on our lives is what moved us.
Fear and self-interest. He knew what moved men. Yeah. Somebody was talking about people that hear sermons and stuff that get emotional, you know, they cry and all that kind of stuff. He said, those most moved to tears by every word of a preacher are generally weak and a rascal when the feelings are gone. They were moved by their feelings. We can't be moved by feelings. We have to be moved by faith. We have to say, that's what God said. That's what God desires. That's what I'm going to do. And by that, I'm going to be moved. Moved to do something. Talking about Abraham being called to the promised land. Acts 7:4 says, then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved. Wow. That's amazing. What did it take to move Abraham? His father died. His father was a drag on his life. Now he's going to move to where God wants him to be, where he was called to in the first place. He moved. So we have to ask ourselves this question. What moves us? Whatever moved us? What moved us in the past? being moved. That's what it says in that verse, isn't it? By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with fear. Paul says, for in him we live and move and have our being. He said, even some of your own poets are saying that. They're saying that in poetry. In God we live and move and have our being. God put us here. God put us here for a purpose. God put us here for a time. And that time's running out. What should we do? Move a little. The doctor says it's good to move. Don't sit on the couch, eat potato chips, and watch all the movies on TV. Move. Good for you to move, but it's even better to move in the right direction. He said, but none of these things move me, Paul says. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. He says, none of these things are going to move me off the course I'm on. None of them. I'm going to finish this thing. Don't let false information move you off the course that God wants you on. Don't let emotions move you off the course that God has set before you. Fight the good fight. Finish the course. Keep the faith. For the prophecy came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved. How were they moved? They were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved these people. The Holy Spirit moved them to do things. The Holy Spirit moved them to establish churches. And the Holy Spirit moved them to encourage believers. The Holy Spirit moved them to fellowship. The Holy Spirit moved them to pray. The Holy Spirit moved them to sacrifice. These are people that moved. It's a good thing. But look at the verse. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Now you might go home today and you might go out in your backyard and get some 2x4s and some boards and start building an ark because you heard a message on the ark and you say, well, Noah was moved and he built an ark. And I come along and I say, what are you doing? You say, I'm building an ark because I've been moved to build an ark. I'll say, I don't know what's moving you, but it's not God. God's not moving you to build an ark. You're a little late for that. About 6,000 years. But God moved Noah to build an ark. And Noah built the ark. In other words, God convinced Noah that this was the proper thing to do in his lifetime. And this is what he did. He did exactly that. In Petersburg, Kentucky, there's a replica of Noah's Ark, which is being promoted, advertised on TV.
It's 400 feet long, it's 50 feet high.
Our son took his family there, and he felt it was a profitable experience for them. I don't see myself heading there anytime soon. In my opinion, it's not seeing the Ark or going to Mount Ararat and digging around the site looking for a piece of gopher wood that's going to increase my faith.
It's not the Ark or going to Mount Ararat and digging around in the snow and rocks and trying to find a piece of gopher wood. No, don't need that. Why? Because it's in the Word of God. I have no problem with that. That's what God said. I don't have any problem with that. How did this all happen? Well, God says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Yeah, but what about evolution? And what about all this archaeology? And what about the fish fossils and all that kind of stuff? And what about dinosaurs? And don't need it. You need it? Go for it. I don't need it. Why? Because I believe what God said. I believe God said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I believe he did that. I believe that. Really do. I believe the Bible is truly the Word of God. I stake everything on that. I have no problem with that. Look at the verse again. He moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. He wasn't just thinking about Noah. He was thinking about his family. Thinking about others. Strange what happens when we think about others. Strange how well motivated we become when we start really thinking about others. When we really do love others. People don't take care of their families because they don't love their families. Well, they say they love their families, but they really don't. Because if you love your family, you would do something. You'd go out of your way. Look what it says. Prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world. He condemned the world by doing that. Listen, they knew. I believe this. They knew what they were doing was wrong. I believe in us, we know what we're doing is wrong.
I believe that when a 2-year-old is going to mess in his pants, that child does not come in front of you to take care of that business. He hides behind a chair, the couch.
The reason the two-year-old hides is that he knows better. He knows it's time to be housebroken. But that little independent soul is looking to get away with something.
No, but really, it's true.
He or she wants control. It's an act of defiance.
And I really believe this. When a person brought up, never had anything to do with Christianity, never heard of Christianity, doesn't make any difference, off in the jungle somewhere in a distant tribe that hasn't been contacted for 2,000 years.
When he lies, he knows it's wrong.
Never read the Bible, never had any of that information.
But that person knows when he lies that it's wrong. The murderer knows when he kills someone, it's wrong. He or she might do it anyway, but that person knows it's wrong.
Because God has placed inside every human being a conscience. And our conscience says, you're wrong. And I believe those people that lived before the flood, they knew what they were doing was wrong. But there was a guy down the street building an ark because God was going to judge what was wrong. And I believe that they knew. They knew they were wrong. And they knew there was something about that. But they weren't moved to make a decision. You understand what I'm saying? Condemn the world. You see that ark being built? It's condemning the world. Saying, guys, we're out of here, you're staying here, and you're going to be under the judgment of God. And that ark said that. I believe Jews all over the world are there, and they are Jewish, because God placed them there to tell the world, it's coming. These people, my people, I made them a nation, and you cannot wipe them out. And they will be here. And they will be here as long as this world turns. And they will be the nation of Israel. And every time you see a Jewish person, he might not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's a sign. He's a sign. Every Christian is a sign. See, why do people believe that? Why do people embrace the Bible? And, you know, what is this Holy Spirit and Christ dying on the cross? And what is all that stuff? Why do people do that? Well, as long as they're here, it's going to bother people. They're bothered by that. What if these people are right? What if they're right? What if there is a judgment for me? See, it's there. Just like the ark was there as that was being built. I'm sure people from CNN and ABC and even Fox probably sent somebody over to see what's going on over there. Watching the lives of Noah and his family. Seeing the project move ahead. People thought it wasn't going to amount to anything, but you watch that for a long time, you think, yeah, it's really coming together. It's not haphazardly put together. It's really, really being put together. It's unique. Look at the verse again. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. An heir of righteousness. Noah, heir of righteousness. Noah's right with God. Heir of righteousness. Do you have a great uncle or something, or somebody that's going to die and leave you a lot of money? Probably not.
But if you had such a benefactor, then you'd be an heir.
So Uncle Henry dies and people go to hear the reading of the will, and you're left a substantial amount of money. Love Uncle Henry. Should have visited him more often than the nursing home, but hey, I was busy. Yeah, but now he's left you money. You're an heir. Because you're an heir, you're going to receive the inheritance. It's yours. Money, power, people like that. Prince Harry gave it up. Doesn't want to be prince anymore. Don't need that. I wonder what she said, really. Probably some pretty awful language, but you know what you're doing. You know what you're giving up. Harry, you are an heir. Don't want it. Wow. But an heir of money or an heir of power or an heir of fame, compared to an heir of righteousness, is nothing. It's nothing. An heir of righteousness, which means you're righteous before God. You don't have that in yourself, but God gave you that. He took your sin and he gave you his righteousness. What a deal. What a deal. That's an heir. And then it closes off like this. According to faith. We started with faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. We're ending with faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. According to faith, just do that. Just do it. I usually watch the gas gauge, and the only time I don't watch the gas gauge is when Warren's with me. Can lead to a problem. So I pull in, and the kid pumps the gas, and I pay with my credit card. And I don't think about that at all. I don't think it's in the tank, and there's a pump that pumps it out of the tank, and it goes through a pipe, and it comes up to the engine, and there are injectors that spray atomized fuel at the appropriate time for combustion to take place at the spark plug to propel the vehicle forward. Do you think of that? I don't think about that process. And Josh is probably laughing because I didn't explain what happens correctly, because he studied it and I didn't. But it works. That's how it works. That's how faith works. Faith is just taking God at his word and just operating according to what God says. That's faith. You have to move, but that's faith. Starts that way, ends that way. That was not Noah's plan. That was God's plan. God had a plan, and God took that plan, and he revealed that plan to Noah. And Noah made a decision about what he was going to do with that plan. And by the way, Noah made a good decision. And by the way, we would not be here if Noah hadn't done that. Because Noah did that, we're here today. Because we all go back to Noah. Every one of us relate to Noah. I don't know if Noah was a Frenchman or not, but every one of us is related to Noah. All of us. Because it was a plan that came from God, and Noah took that plan, and he looked at the plan, and he said to God, yes, I will follow that plan. A lot of people missed the boat. They missed the boat. Too late. Boat's gone. Big thing lifted up off of Noah's property and flowed away. I don't know how much time they had to think about it.
All the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened.
There were a lot of cataclysmic things happening, and the rain was falling, and water was rising. I don't know how much time they had to think about it, but I'll bet you the ones who knew, and I'll bet you a lot of them knew. I think this thing was well advertised. But they rejected it. Don't miss the boat. Don't miss the boat. The other thing is this. When God spoke to Noah, he was 600 years old. Yeah, 600 years old. And it's not like today, but if you took that, put that in today, it'd be like 40. You know what I mean? God could speak to somebody that's 40 years old. God could speak to somebody that's 80 years old. God could speak to somebody. Make a real difference.
Because the plan that came from God is revealed to that person, and he or she looked at the plan, and by faith, the individual was moved to follow the plan.
And because of that, people can be saved. Oh, people criticize that. You know, they say, fine, you believe in that. You know, you believe God created the heavens and the earth. You know, you believe in Noah. You know, you believe in Frosty the Snowman. No, I don't believe in Frosty the Snowman, because Frosty the Snowman is not in the Bible. But I believe what's in the Bible. And I believe someday we're going to see that was all true. But people say, no, it's not true. Can't be true. We've scientifically proven that the Bible's not true. Well, that's a wonderful thing. You know, the Bible's been here a long time. A long, long time. And it's been criticized over and over and over again by scholars and by archaeologists and by paleontologists and all kinds of scientists and educators, and just been ridiculed to death. But you know, the Bible's still changing lives, and people are still believing the Bible. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Still there after all these years. The world's careless when it comes to spiritual things. The world's very careless, but you shouldn't be careless when it comes to spiritual things. You can be careless with physical things. You can be careless with financial things. But boy, you can't be careless with spiritual things. If you're careless with physical things or financial things, it's only for a little time. But if you're careless with spiritual things, it's for eternity. It's for eternity. It never ends. It has tremendous value. The writer of Ecclesiastes gave us some really good information. 12th chapter, after trying everything, Solomon said, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, when you will say, I have no pleasure in them." Pleasure is gone. In your youth, remember God. In your high school days, remember God. In your college days, remember God. In your marriage, remember God. In your victories and in your defeats, because life is full of both, remember God. In your joys and your sorrows, remember God. In sickness and in health, remember God. In your old age, remember God. when you're dying? Remember God. Jeremiah 51:50 says, remember the Lord in a distant land. We're not home. We're just renting. We're renting our bodies. We're just renting. We're not comfortable because we're not home. Jeremiah said, remember the Lord in a distant land. That's what we should do. Hebrews chapter 11. Good verse. Bow in prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the account. Thank you for Noah, his life. Thank you, Father, for the testimony that was left behind for us to understand, to move into, make a difference in our world. We thank you for that. Thank you for each one that came out here today. We know you had a purpose for each one. And we thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.